We are live, ladies and gents. Welcome to a bonus edition of Speak Now Pro Wrestling. Here on Speak Now Pro Wrestling, it is October 22nd, Sunday, and we got quite a big weekend of wrestling to get into. We're going to be talking about AEW Collision. We're going to be discussing Impact Wrestling Bound for Glory and the news that came out of both of these shows. But I'm not alone here today. As a matter of fact, I have my Wednesday night co-host with me, and that is Righteous Reg. Reg, what is up, man?
In the building. It's your boy, Media Man, your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster. Very excited to be here on a Sunday with my co-host, Denise. And like I said before we came on the show, Denise, two very good wrestling shows we get to talk about here. So I'm very excited.
I know. And that's the thing. Like, I had so much FOMO yesterday when I was at work. I was like, damn, I want to know what's happening right now. And I kept like kind of logging on and like briefly seeing things on Twitter. Right. And, you know, immediately I woke up this morning and I watched everything and I thought I wasn't going to have enough time, but I actually had, I have like a whole like hour to kill right before the show even started. So this is like all up fresh in my mind, everything that went down. So we're going to get started with Collision and talk about the major highlights from there. And then we'll go ahead and jump right into Impact Wrestling Bound for Glory. So let's kick it off with a match that was promoted as a dream match. And boy, was it a phenomenal one. It was none other than the GOAT, Bryan Danielson versus Andrade. And this took place in the opening of AEW Collision. And this was, Reg, this was spectacular, man. There was a lot that went down in this match. Just to kind of run through a couple of the bullet points, some really awesome moments. We saw Andrade lock in the Gory Special, like right off the top, to Bryan Danielson. The crowd definitely recognized what a special match this was because they were reacting very nicely throughout this entire match. Right. We saw them work the mat. We saw them even in between the fight, like at some point we saw them shake hands, which I thought was incredibly cool. We try to see Andrade try to get Bryan into the figure four, but instead Bryan always managed to basically block it. We had a bunch of stare downs in between of these matches. It kind of felt like they were trying to size each other up, you know, trying to see how they can surprise the other person. We saw chops, we saw kicks, we saw just so much craziness in here. For the victory, we do end up seeing Bryan Danielson get the victory here. But what did you make of this match here?
This match was exactly as advertised. People were going crazy a couple days ago, Denise, when Tony Khan said dream match, got people off of their rocker. They're like, well, what's a dream match? If it's not a dream match to me, it can't be a dream match. They wrestled before, so how could it be a dream match? Aha, in your face, you guys. Insane match, Denise. Bryan Danielson, we all know how incredible of a wrestler Bryan Danielson is, but I think we sometimes even forget. If we haven't seen him for a few weeks or whatever, we're like, oh, yeah, Bryan Danielson. Then when he wrestles, you're like, oh, yeah, Bryan Danielson. The way that he works is so different than everybody in pro wrestling, Denise. The way that he wears his opponents down, it feels like it's so funny because, like, they would compare, like, Rey Fénix and the Young Bucks to, like, video game characters. But I compare Bryan Danielson to a video game character because the way that he breaks down an opponent, it feels like he's fighting in there. He's working on legs. He's working on their head. He's working on their arms, like just breaking them down. So in the end, he could somehow wrap them up. But the thing I liked most about this, I think, Denise, was the finish because it still made Andrade look strong. They had like a tussle. They're going back and forth with these pins. And then Bryan somehow gets him in a Bryan Danielson locked up. 1, 2, 3. Andrade still looks super strong coming out of it. He looked great throughout the whole thing. Bryan Danielson always makes all of his opponents look very strong. And Andrade looked great in here. He was super strong with the strikes. The trying to put on the figure eight at points looked really cool. He got it locked in. Like the way that he was working was incredible. Bryan's just great with Mexican wrestlers. Like that's just his thing. He's so excited about working with them. And this match was awesome.
They were evenly matched is what I think we saw in this matchup for sure, because we were talking a lot about their back and forths. You mentioned the striking. You mentioned we were talking about some of the groundwork that they did early in the match. Basically, every single thing that they did, it was even. And that's why I loved the stare downs, because when they were kind of like they would do something, right, they would tussle up, like you said. And then you had these moments of, okay, what can I do next that this guy isn't going to get the upper hand in? And so that's right. what I love too. Like the moonsault to the outside, the split-legged moonsault on the inside. Mm-hmm. And I think what I appreciated about this, I know when it comes to the term dream match, everybody gets on, everybody goes crazy, right? When it talks about dream matches, because again, like you said, sometimes for certain people, dream matches aren't necessarily what my dream match may not be your dream match and vice versa, right?
Right.
But I feel like with this one here, I felt like the crowd really did a great job of being like, this is awesome. They were appreciating all the moments. And to me, what I liked about this is that Andrade had a lot of respect from the crowd. It's not like we get to see Andrade wrestle as much as we get to see Bryan Danielson on AEW. Andrade is a lot more sporadic in AEW. I feel like some of my favorite matches that I've seen from him in AEW were legitimately the ones that he had with Pac. Like those were my favorite matches. But other than that, it kind of feels like there's been so much time in between the matches that he's had throughout his time with the company. So I think the simple fact that this was considered a dream match between Andrade and Bryan kind of felt like a big deal.
It did. And it ended up executing exactly what we thought. Andrade, I think, even given like not a month that much time as anybody else, anytime he's putting into a position, anytime we've seen him on Collision, he's executed. He's never stopped being the great wrestler we've always wanted him to be. And that's probably where he gets frustrated, I'm sure, Denise. He's like, look, I'm this guy and you guys aren't putting me on TV all the time. I could do everything the best guy here. You guys got here. I could do everything better than him. Can't speak his English as good, but when it comes to work in the ring, can't nobody do it like I can. So this was a showcase, I think, for him. And Bryan Danielson is just adding on to his resume. It's funny, the dream match thing too, Denise, because on the other show we're going to talk about, there was another dream match with two wrestlers that have wrestled before. So like, is that mean it's not a dream? Ended up executing on the same thing. It's just funny how these things work.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So after this match, they both shake hands, right? And the lights go out. Then all of a sudden, we see when the lights come back in, Malakai Black comes in and kicks Bryan Danielson, laying him out after this match. Now, we did get to see a little bit more of the House of Black throughout AEW Collision, but what did you make of Malakai Black standing above Bryan Danielson?
It's funny because when the lights went out, I didn't know what was going on. But then as soon as they came on, it was like, oh, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. Seeing Malakai Black here, him getting the chance of people just being excited. He's one of those auras, Denise, of just like seeing him gets people crazy. Like he did one thing and people were like, oh, my God, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Them being locked in, House of Black versus the Blackpool Combat Club, I'm all in. They were going in on it last night. Malakai Black versus Bryan Danielson in a one-on-one. Yo, sign me all the way up. The rest of the crew, Buddy Matt, like all of them, like everything about this, I think is really strong. And I don't think it took away from the match that Bryan just had. So it all worked really well for me.
And this is what we need too for the members of the House of Black, in particular, Malakai Black, because this guy came in, you were talking about that aura, right? Not everybody has a very cool, aesthetic like the House of Black, right? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I've spoken about this a million times on podcasts, but I personally have felt that I've always kind of expected just a little bit more from Malakai Black in AEW. I don't really feel like he's been the guy that I thought he was going to be when he first signed up with AEW. So I feel like this match, especially the way that the House of Black was promoted throughout the night, which we'll talk more about in a second, but even just like the possibility of Malakai Black, Bryan Danielson, to me, it already levels up just the interest of Malakai Black once again, because this is a guy that you should be seeing in matches with guys like Adam Page, Swerve Strickland, your Kenny Omegas, like all of the top talents of AEW. And we haven't really seen that. And so I feel like there's still so much to do with Malakai Black, even though he's been with AEW for a hot minute now.
Yeah, exactly. And the fans look at him exactly like you say, Denise. They think he's a main event star. They think he should be AEW world champion. So we need to see him put into positions like this. So starting at the top, he's about to be in there with Bryan Danielson. He's about to be in there with Jon Moxley. Like, this is the stuff we want to see him in. I think that's what made everybody extra excited, because like, if the House of Black would have returned last night in any position, people would have been excited. But knowing they're going to be across the ring from this guy makes it extra good.
Yeah, it certainly does. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and press on from here and talk more about what went down on Collision. Before I continue, just a friendly reminder, if you guys want to help support this podcast, show some love, get your questions, your opinions, your hot takes, your cold takes, whatever it is, you're more than welcome to send in a super chat, and we will be pulling those out and reading those here on the stream. But now I want to get into a very quick video package that we got, Reg. We have Darby Allin. So we were talking about on Dynamite, everything that went down with Nick Wayne, with Christian Cage and Sting and everything that kind of broke down at the end of this. So we had a quick video package with Darby basically saying that he's going to take a lot more from Nick Wayne than just his tooth, right? He's pissed off for what he did, his betrayal of what he did, and he says he's going to be at Dynamite. So very quick vignettes. I don't know if there's anything else that we want to add that we haven't already discussed on Wednesday.
Yeah, no, not too much. It's just kind of like they want to keep giving Darby screen time. That's always a good thing because he's still one of the most over guys in AEW. And this is good for Nick Wayne, I think.
All right, let's get into the Guns, because what we got here was a quick match for the Guns. They get their victory, Reg. I can see the excitement on your face the second I even mentioned the Guns. They get their victory over, I think it was the Outrunners, and the lights go out once again. But this time, we end up seeing the Devil Mask pop up on the screen because we had all of Bullet Club Gold out there. And clearly, it's a warning. We're taking this as a warning from MJF, or is this supposed to be the person that stole the mask from MJF out here giving warnings? It's got to be MJF, right? Because I thought about that. I'm like, keep in mind that someone was out there supposedly impersonating MJF since he was the one claiming that it wasn't him. So I'm assuming this is him now with his mask back giving this warning to Jay White, right?
Or is it? I think that's what they want us to believe. And commentary was doing the same thing. They were like, it has to be MJF. There's no way it's not MJF. This proves that it's MJF. This does not prove that it was MJF. That could be Roderick Strong under there plotting against Jay White, who came against his homeboy, stole his title match, and got him in this position. It could be anybody under there. We don't have any idea. So I think that's the best part of it, is like, it's a big mystery. Like, it's not guaranteed that it's MJF. But also, if it's MJF, that's good too.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I feel like they left you kind of wondering, like, okay, what's going on here? So it was a very quick, he looks at the camera, he looks away, and that was it. And then everybody, all the heels are like, what the hell? Like, that's all we got there. But next week, we are going to be seeing MJF versus Juice Robinson. Reg and I will be here on Wednesday to break that down. And I think they announced that it's opening up the show for Dynamite next week. So that's going to be an interesting start to the show for sure. All right. So I'm curious to see what you thought about this and what the chat thought about this one. And it is the Memphis Street Fight. Jeff Jarrett versus Eddie Kingston. Now, first and foremost, Reg, what was your reaction when you saw that the match was actually announced?
How does he keep getting away with this? That's my immediate reaction. How does Jeff Jarrett keep doing this, Denise? Every time they announce a match with him, I'm like, what? What do you mean? Like, they have a roster full of people that I would put in that position, and then they say Jeff Jarrett, and you're like, what? How?
Because he's entertaining, Reg. It's entertaining.
And that's the issue right there, Denise, because after the match, I was like, damn, that was entertaining. I hate him. He does it every time. It never, ever fails. Soon as My World hits, I'm like, this son of a bitch, here he comes again. And then he has this super plunder filled, it feels like early TNA, nudge. And it's like, yo, all right, I see what's going on here. I'm not mad at it.
That's literally exactly what it feels like. The second that Jeff Jarrett comes out there, you know you're going to get something, like you said, that feels very TNA-ish. And you get that vibe. That's like the environment that he kind of like builds up in the ring. But that's the thing about Jeff Jarrett. Like, why do we keep seeing him? Why? Because he knows how to work a crowd. He knows how to be a great heel. He knows how to be entertaining in the ring. Knows how to tell a story. It becomes a melee. The guy's reliable. Think about this, Reg. When AEW was promoting All In at Wembley Stadium, right? Who did you see doing media press conferences months ahead of the actual show?
Right.
Jeff Jarrett.
Double J. Yeah, he's the guy. I mean, even yesterday before the show, he was saying, like, I'm going out to promote this show. Like, he's always, like, on the ground trying to promote for AEW. So, yeah, I think that's exactly what it is, Denise. This guy's been around for 40-something years. He's seen every wrestling situation there is. He knows how to work a crowd no matter what. We've been in crowds ourselves where it's like people are mad when he comes out, but at the end of the match, they're screaming, they're yelling, they're doing exactly what they need to do. So I see why.
Yeah, I feel you. All right, well, let's talk about the actual matchup here because I thought this was a lot of fun here. I mean, they're fighting out pretty much everywhere. It's a street fight. There's a moment where they're out by the stage area and Eddie Kingston gets Jeff Jarrett with like ketchup and mustard and starts like squeezing in on him. We end up seeing back in the ring, Jeff Jarrett starts getting Eddie Kingston with all of these different weapons, right? He's going and attacking his knee. That's the thing that we're seeing, attacking the knee. So finally, when Double J goes for the figure four, Eddie's like locked up in like pain, man, this entire time, but he manages to reverse it. And fast forward to the actual finish of this match, we see Eddie end up hitting Satnam with the guitar shot. And so Jeff Jarrett uses this opportunity to get him with the stroke and get the win on Eddie Kingston. But basically, this wasn't a one-man thing. This literally became a 5-on-1. All of Jeff Jarrett and his guys were beating up on Eddie Kingston. Like, this was definitely not fair game. Eddie Kingston was out there all alone trying to fend for himself. But we end up seeing Jeff Jarrett get the victory here. And I gotta tell you, I had a good time with this match. I had a freaking good time. I will say this, there was also another funny part where Eddie Kingston was walking around with the trash can and he was like hitting his head with it. And I'm like, yo, that's how you get pumped up for something.
Yeah, you see, the issue is, Denise, though, moments like this stick out like a sore thumb. Like when we just saw Andrade and Bryan Danielson have a clinic, a great, amazing wrestling match. And then it's like Double J and there's popcorn and there's tables and there's Karen Jarrett and there's all this Satnam Singh. There's all this wild stuff. So I could see why people are like, what the hell is this? What's going on here? You know,
I thought Karen did such a great freaking job. Oh my God. When she came in,
she's really good. The eyes.
Yeah. She was so freaking funny. And I thought commentary did a really good job of like putting her over as a villain, like this really evil woman. Right. I thought they did a good job with that, but I thought Karen was phenomenal in this. She did a really, really great job at all of this. But speaking of a great job, later on, we get a promo from Eddie Kingston. And I thought this was a really good promo. Probably one of the best Eddie Kingston has had in a while. Honestly, it's been a while since I think we've gotten a promo this good from Eddie Kingston. And he basically calls out Jay Lethal for saying that he's completely changed. He's not the guy he once knew, that who was really in love with wrestling and all of this, because now he's just Jeff Jarrett's little bitch. And he's pissed off for his interference that he had in the Memphis street fight. And my favorite part of this was, one, that he was addressing him by his name, but the other part that I enjoyed, Reg, was that he was saying that what was going to hurt him the most was having to hurt him in front of his mother.
Yeah.
I thought that was good, man.
Yeah. No, Eddie Kingston, I think that he can make any angle. He can make us believe anything. Like, if this feud was him and Jeff Jarrett, we'd be really wanting to see more in him and Jeff Jarrett. Like, the whole point of this is him and Jay Lethal. So he's going to sell us on that. And that's exactly what he did here. All you have to do is get Eddie Kingston pissed off and then hand him a microphone. Leave the blood on him. Leave the ripped up shirt on him. Just let him go off. And that's what he did here. When it comes to talking on the mic, there's very few that could get people to be enthralled and want to have more of the story like Eddie Kingston does. You have to let him talk anytime he's going to start a feud or be in a feud, because that's the draw.
Yeah, there you go. That's the draw. Exactly. All right. But Mike from Indeed sends in a super chat. Thank you so much to Mike, who says, Jeff Jarrett knows where TK is hiding the body.
He got something. He has something. There's some way that he can like always get a segment or a match or something. There's something.
But he's always been like that. I feel like there's other people where I'm like, that guy knows where TK is hiding the bodies. But I think Jeff Jarrett is more along of like flattery. Like, you get, like, you know, you go out there, you do a good job, you're reliable, and you're also very flattering. I think that is what's part of Jeff Jarrett's charm.
And Jeff Jarrett has talked to, like, the best promoters of all time and the worst promoters of all time and everything in between. So he knows how to talk to anybody in wrestling and knows how to get what he wants out of them. So,
oh man, great people skills. That's what it is right there. Totally. People skills, because you got to be able, like you mentioned right now, you said it, with the best promoters, with the worst promoters. What do you got to do? you got to work with all of these different personalities. And Lord yep. knows there are all of these personalities when it comes to pro wrestling. So, definitely. Damn, we need to work up our people skills, Reg. Next thing you know, Righteous Reg versus Roman Reigns, WrestleMania.
Hold on. I don't want all of this. How did I get into a WrestleMania match?
It was your people skills, Reg. You know, you're going to end Roman Reigns' streak with your people skills.
There's so many things wrong with that. People would be so mad if I ended Roman Reigns' streak.
You know what it's going to be?
Get me all the way out of here.
It's going to be Jeff Jarrett. I don't know how, but yes, it's going to be Jeff Jarrett.
Listen, Jeff Jarrett needs to start having seminars, and not on how to do body slams and hip tosses, on how to finesse your way to the top, no matter what the wrestling company is.
There you go. And by the way, shout out to our very good friend, Sheldon Jackson, who just gifted 10 more memberships to the DWO.
Appreciate you, Sheldon.
Hell yeah, Sheldon, thank you so much for the love, man. We appreciate it so very much. All right, let's keep it going. I want to get into Miro and Action Andretti because this match, I'm kind of 50-50 on this one. Look, I enjoyed it for what it was when Action Andretti was out there hitting all of his, you know, fun spots and, you know, getting some offense in on there. But for the most part, this was Miro dominating. Anytime Action got any sort of offense in, Miro quickly fired back. So this was pretty much Miro all the way. We had CJ Perry out on ringside watching and reacting to the actual physical portion of this match. Miro gets the victory here. I'm trying to get into this CJ Perry Miro storyline, but it is just it's moving so slow.
Yeah, it is. We don't believe it, Denise. We're all just like, what's going on here? We know that your wife just like, you talked about her in so many promos. Why are you now denying everything about it? I don't really understand what's going on here. They're trying to get her with another dude or something. I don't really get it, I think, is where I land on it. I'm like, what's going on here?
I think I feel like the way that I understand it based on one of his past promos that he did was that he basically said she's this evil woman who only wants a spotlight for herself, right? And that was my understanding of it, that she's trying to expose her for being this evil woman.
But that's your wife. Get a divorce then.
Some men just love evil women, Reg. What can I say? I mean, they'd be out there marrying crazies. I mean, it just happens, right?
I'm not mad at it. I've encountered a couple and, you know, sometimes it's fun.
What if you marry the psycho girl? Maybe that's what happened to Miro. He married the psycho girl.
But, you know,
girl.
Hey, you know, sometimes when that's your significant other, you got to be down no matter what. You're like, yo, she's nuts. That's my girl. I don't care.
There you go. So I don't get it. Like, I feel like, okay, so Miro is, I guess, her upset with her? Because, wait, why are they upset with each other?
That's what I'm saying, Denise. I'm like, why are y'all mad? Like, what? That's your wife, dude. Just, like, have her at ringside or don't. Like, I don't understand what's going on here.
Because, okay. The first time that we ever really heard him mention CJ Perry, or rather his wife, obviously not without name, was months and months and months ago, right?
A long time ago.
When he lost the TNT Championship. Mm-hmm. And he was saying how, like, his wife won't let him sleep there anymore. Something like that is what he was saying in these promos. And then all of this time went back. And all of a sudden she comes out and they're not on good terms. But we, as the fans, are missing this big puzzle piece of, well, why aren't they on good terms?
What's going on? Why? What happened between those times and those times would make us think that you guys aren't on good terms? And if we're being even like inside, like, I'm looking at your Instagram and you guys are having a great time on the beach. Why are you having a great time on the beach here, but you're mad at him on the show? If you guys are trying to have an angle with each other, I understand it. But Miro's, there's a thing with Miro, Denise. The reason that you didn't really care so much about the match is because there's never anything after he does something. It's like, he had the big moment with Hobbs and then it was like nothing. They're trying to do this thing with CJ, but it's like we're not really connected because we're like, and then what's going to happen? You know?
I'm getting a bunch of different answers here about what people are, how people are describing this feud to me. Right. So here's what's happening. Here's what people are saying. This one's from Random Goodness Guy, who says, CJ is turned on by Miro destroying her clients. That's the story. And Andrade is next. I didn't get that.
That's not a bad story, though. I could see what's going on here. I do like that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Henry Martin says Miro condemned his wife. Unsure says Miro doesn't want her there because of what it does to her personality. And he doesn't want her there without a bout because of said personality change. Okay, I can see this one because he mentioned some of that stuff on the promo.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Now you guys are putting some pieces together a lot better than I am. I understand what's going on there too. Yeah. Like, he's trying to get in front of the issue before she gets crazy. So he's like, you can't come in here until I have a belt and you have some purpose.
Snap, grapple, pop says Miro says CJ goes crazy for gold. He doesn't want her like that.
Okay.
Let me see. Unsure says smart. There's a promo where Miro tells us, just can't remember where I saw it. I'm pretty sure it was the promo that I was talking about, the one where he was talking about how gold changes her and that she's an evil person and like the spotlight and all of that. Like, it seems like she's bewitched by the lights, the cameras. That's what I'm getting from this.
Okay.
But what hasn't been explained, or maybe this is the explanation, is when he saw her pop up at his workplace, all of a sudden he's like, well, what are you doing here?
Right. And she got this big pop and he's like, I know what this does for her. She's going to be craving this attention and I don't want her to turn into that person. Okay. I can see y'all put it together.
All right. Well, we're starting to get her a little bit more, but we need to speed things up because
we're in the back
help.
Telling the story. No, tell the story to us out front, dude.
And we're out here trying to figure out, like, this is starting to feel like poetry. We're out. The teacher's like, well, can you decipher what this line means? Like, what is this?
Well, what do you think it means? And then also, what do you think it means? They're all good meanings.
You say what you think it means, and the teacher's like, no, you're wrong. That's not what this means.
Like, I can't believe you can't see it. It's right there in your face.
This is Shakespeare now. All right. Well, we got a promo from Roosh here, which I very much enjoyed. And this was basically just him saying that he's worked so hard to get to this point in his career, how far he's gotten here, and that he's tired of not being a star and not being showcased on the show. He says that he's too dangerous to show up. And that's what they think. And so that's why he's not on. And that's it. We've been getting these little vignettes for a bit, but he's out here spitting some facts.
Listen, the best thing about a heel, I think, in movies and wrestling and anything is when there's some truth behind it. There's nothing that he said where you're like, no, you're a big lie. No, you are great. You are dangerous. They do think you're crazy. You should be on TV more. Like, this is a real promo that I'm like, oh, yeah, he's right. He should be on TV. When's the last time we saw Roosh on TV, Denise?
Damn, it's been a while. I can't even
remember. Was it the Jack Perry match?
The Jack Perry match?
No, there had to be something after that.
No, I'm sure there was something out. Okay, hold on. Let me check.
Bryan Danielson, maybe? Was that after? Like, it's been a while.
I have a terrible memory. Hold on, I'm checking. Internet's going really slow, so.
But yeah, he's like another big star too. And I'm like, are they going to connect the Andrade dots? I thought maybe they could get into it with BCC after that too, but then here comes House of Black immediately, so I don't know.
All right, well, this screen isn't loading up because apparently my internet just decided to be like, nah, you need us for a resource? Screw you.
Nah, somebody else will figure it out. We got
it. We'll get it here. But anyways, so we need to see more of Roosh. That's the point. Because at some point, we got to get somewhere with all of these vignettes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it just can't be we're out here seeing kidnappings. We're out here seeing business meetings.
They're doing a lot.
They're doing quite a bit.
They had an action sequence in there. Remember that? They were doing, like, a fight and all this. Like, yeah, I'm liking it. But, like, where are we going here?
Damn. So, I mean, now at this point, we got to get it. We got to get it. All right. Mm-hmm. Moving on from here. FTR is back in tag team action. And during the match, the lights go out again. We come back. We had the lights go out like 40 times on this show. Malakai Black comes out again. And then the lights go out again. House of Black comes out. We got to stare down. They attack FTR. So they're clearly coming for everybody. They're making it well aware that the House of Black, this is now their show from the looks of it, because they're coming for Bryan Danielson. They're coming for FTR. We'll talk more about them later because we'll see them again. Damn. Anything else we want to add to this?
They're acting like another dark, spooky squad that gets down on Mondays that has dark stuff and dark aesthetics. Trying to take over the whole show, like the Judgment Day. Is this Judgment Day again, Denise? Like, why are they trying to dominate the whole
Judgment
show?
Day,
they're way different than the Judgment Day, but same kind of things of, like, they're all over the show. They're trying to dominate. They're trying to be the top faction. I like this energy, though, Denise. They should try to be the tag team champions. Malakai should try to get him some singles gold. They should establish themselves over this brand. People have been saying that this brand needs some identity. Bryan Danielson is taking the helms, but you need some other players. And I think House of Black fills those roles.
We got a super chat here from Stephen Marchuli. Thank you so much to Stephen for sending this in. He says, Brian versus Andrade Idolo was a thing of beauty. Andrade getting Stanford attention. Tony, pay the light bill, bro. Did you see the Jaguars thing?
No, I didn't.
Yo, you didn't see the Jaguars thing. So
what they did.
It was like last week, I think. But there was like these photos of people kind of making fun of the Jaguars because they didn't pay their DirecTV bill.
Ooh.
So on the screen, it said, pay your DirecTV bill. So I feel like, I don't know if this is what Stephen Marchuli is referring to in addition to the light bill thing and putting them together. But yeah, it was on Twitter. I saw it.
They being silly. Don't do Tony Khan and them like that. That's really funny, though.
Yeah, it was really funny, honestly. But you know what, though? In all fairness, DirecTV really, really lags to process payments.
They do.
They do, because there's times where like you'll pay a bill and then you go on to see your little online account and it'll be like, it'll say past due. And I'm like, bro, I paid like 2 weeks ago. What are you talking about past due over here?
They like putting people's business out in the streets too, because I've seen that on people's TVs before, like pay this bill. And it's like, yo, that's embarrassing. Like, just send me a letter in the mail. Why are you telling everybody about this?
Have you ever been rejected, Reg? Like an embarrassing, you got rejected because you didn't have money to pay. That happened to me all the time at the 7-Eleven. It was humiliating. Yeah,
straight up, man. You just got to walk down with your head down. Nobody saw this. Nobody's going to remember this.
That's the worst. All right. Sheldon Jackson sends in a super chat saying couples trying to take over WWE and AEW with Rhea and the Judgment Day and Buddy with the House of Black. You love to see it.
I'm with it. They're business strategizing during their pillow talk. They're like, all right, you're going to do this on Raw. I'm going to do this on Collision. It's going to be dope. We're going to dominate the wrestling world.
Oh, man. I love it. All right. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for the super chat here. I appreciate that a whole lot. All right. Let's get into the main event of AEW Collision, and then we'll hop on over to Impact Wrestling. So we got Claudio and Wheeler teaming up to take on Starks and Big Bill. I thought for the most part, this was a pretty straightforward match. I didn't really care too much for the beginning of this. I didn't really think that it got interesting until Claudio got in there. And I loved every single interaction that he had with Ricky Starks. Damn, I loved all the chops, all of the uppercuts that he was getting him with, the, you know, spinning him, doing the big swing. I loved all of that. That was so freaking good. But for the most part, I thought that the match itself was just kind of a little bit on the, it didn't really feel like a main event to me, at least for like the first portion of it. But then it kind of took off from there. But what we ended up getting here afterwards is we end up seeing Starks hit the Rochambeau on Yuta and get the victory with that one there. But afterwards, we end up getting the House of Black. They come out, they do a stare down with Big Bill and Ricky Starks, and they try to, they then all try and attack Yuta, which they successfully do. So Brian runs out there and he helps Yuta, but then they all attack him because they're still outnumbered. So then we get FTR. They come out, they run out there, they get attacked too. It's still not enough. So then finally we get the return of Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley comes out to help out his guys, and we kind of get a little bit of a stare down here, but for the most part, Ricky Starks is left in the ring and he's kind of like the one that's like left there all alone. He didn't get to escape with all of the other guys. But it was kind of a fun way to close out the show, I thought.
Yeah, I like these kind of endings where they kind of just incorporate all the different people from the different factions, because it kind of leaves people spying ending. I'm still kind of confused on the whole PR losing the championships before taking on the Young Bucks in LA, because I thought that's where we were going here. But it looks like that's not where we're going here. But I do like what Ricky Starks and Big Bill are doing. Praise Big Bill on many podcasts because I think he's been the most improved wrestler, like far and away. Like, he's really into his gimmick. So I like it. I'm liking everything that he's doing here. The interactions with him and Claudio are really cool. I like to see him in different elements. So that was really dope about this whole thing. But I think, yeah, the main storyline tied together through this is BCC and House of Black. And I think if we're going to get any kind of matches involving them together, we're on fire.
Hell yeah. And speaking of being on fire, infamous Raider Loco just sent a massive super chat to the channel. And dude, I know this is the second massive super chat that you've sent, I think, in the last week. So I just want to first off say, holy damn, thank you so much for that. That is so freaking nice of you. You've been making it very, very much worth it. So thank you so much. Infamous says, just sending much love to you both on this Sunday. Was it too many lights out? I was like, what's going on here? It's interesting, though, of the House of Black targeting tips, top stars. Makes it fun and new. Both companies doing great with the darkness. But yes, that's the point, though, right? Like you already made the comparisons to the Judgment Day, but also now we're getting more of not only a tag team division in terms of seeing the freaking Malakai Black and I'm thrown off here with the internet. I was trying
I don't know what's going on. I can't see. I don't know what's going on.
We can wait. Can you not see me?
No, I could see you.
Oh, okay then. You're just a little glitchy, but your audio's coming through.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it happens. It's weird. Sorry, you guys.
No worries. No worries. I'll press on. So with Brody King and Buddy Matthews, both of them kind of aiming, I think, for the tag team titles is the way to get them, you know, some gold. Clearly, we can definitely do that. It adds more to the tag team division because I've mentioned this on previous Collision post shows before, is that the tag team division on AEW Collision still fell a little bit on the slim side. So I feel like having the House of Black, not just in the tag team division, but also in singles and the trios, I mean, they just add so much to any sort of, you know, whatever direction that they decide to go in. So already we can get excited about, you know, seeing these guys go up against Big Bill and Ricky Starks and then go up against Malakai Black and Bryan Danielson. There's just a lot of different matchups that they can do here. And then, of course, you know, matches with the BCC. So I feel like within one night, they kind of made a bunch of different things that can go in different directions. So for me, I thought that this was a hit, and this is exactly what the House of Black desperately, desperately needed, because you got a cool act like the House of Black. Let's see it. You know, it's been kind of, you know, it's been lacking a little bit. So I want to see the House of Black really go out there and freaking kill it. So hopefully they do.
I don't know if I'm here. Good? I don't know if anybody can hear me. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. No. If you can hear me, just come back in and come back out. We can probably do that.
Yeah, let me just do that. I'll be right back.
Okay, no worries. All right. And back to the chat here. Thank you so much to Infamous Raider Loco. I appreciate you a whole lot. Poor Reg. Oh, man. I feel so bad for Reg. I hate when that happens, guys. Getting internet issues is always freaking annoying. But you know what? It happens. It just happens sometimes. All right, guys. And let's see what else we got. I want to make sure that I wait for Reg to get into the Bound for Glory conversation. So I'll give him a second till he comes back. But in the meantime, I want to thank everybody who has headed on over to the Apple Podcast page to leave some reviews. Dude, you guys are freaking awesome. We have officially moved up to 63 ratings. My goal is to get to 100 ratings by the end of the year. Please, if you guys have any time at all, if you're bored one day, don't got anything to do, you're tired of refreshing the same social media app over and over again, head on over to Apple Podcasts, search up Instinct Culture by Denise Salcedo, and leave a review. It helps me get ranked higher. It helps other people discover the podcast, and that's like basically the way to grow. So if you guys can, please go and give some love, and you can follow on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. So thank you to everybody who has done that already. And all right, so we're gonna go ahead and just start heading into Impact Wrestling Bound for Glory, and then we'll just here we go. I think he's back. Hey Reg.
Hey, what's up?
Can you see me? Can you hear me?
Yes. We're back. I can hear you. I can see you. All right, we're back.
Thank God. I was like, I'm going to have to get into Impact Wrestling all alone here.
Nah.
But we're back. And you know, wait, you're back. And do you know what else is back?
What?
TNA.
Seriously, Denise, what the hell's going on? When did TNA come back? I was very confused at the end of the show. I was watching it. The end of the show happens. They start to go into this video package. I'm like, are they showing this like an old video? I was super confused. So they go into all this. Frankie Kazarian's coming out of a lake with the big box. Alex Shelley standing around. Chris Sabin, all these people and all this. And then at the end of it, it's, oh, yeah, TNA's back. Denise, First question, did you want TNA to be back?
Look, did I want TNA to be back? No, that would be a lie if I said that. But here's the question. Am I happy that TNA is back? And my answer is yes.
Okay.
I am not one of those haters on the internet that's all like, why is TNA back? That's so stupid. The advertisers are not going to like this. The marketing people are not going to like this. Like, bro, y'all are out here becoming marketing experts. Can't even grow your Twitter account. No, no, no. I don't want to hear none of that. I don't want to hear any of that. Okay.
It's not going crazy today.
Because, Reg, it's the same damn thing all the time. Like any little thing. And it's always the same accounts too. The same people complaining about everything. And I'm like, guys.
Twitter account. Denise Chill. Out here shooting. Let's go, baby.
It's true. There was a bunch of people out here talking about marketing. I'm like, y'all get a degree in marketing? What? Like everybody becomes experts in this shit. You think I'm going to come out here and sit here and act like I know more about what's going on behind the scenes at Impact Wrestling when it comes to the decision as to why they decided to revert to back to TNA Wrestling? No. Right. And I'm going to be honest. Like, look at where we're at right now with TNA. I mean, with Impact. With Impact, unfortunately, we go through these highs and lows. I've literally just talked about this the other day, but there are times where Impact feels like the hottest shit right there for a second, you know, for like a day, and then it goes back down and it goes back up and it goes back down. We know that the ratings for Impact are not that great. Okay. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have kind of gotten to a point where they do got to start thinking about things that they can do, different things that they can do, or shit, you know, maybe things that were working somewhat in the past, bring it back, do what you need to do. And so for me, I just don't necessarily see an issue with being TNA Wrestling. And here's the other thing, and Reg, maybe you can help me out with this one, but we all know what TNA means, right? And we all know, and we're not talking about Total Nonstop Action.
Test and Albert is what WWE told me.
Okay, we know, all right? But let me ask you, is this still a term that like young kids nowadays are still using, or is this pretty much an outdated term? We're like, yeah, you know, 10, 15 years ago, people knew what TNA stood for. Now, I don't know if you talk to a 17-year-old boy, are they going to talk about TNA? Like, do they use different terms now?
Yes. See, that's where we're landed, Denise. It's a totally different game. It's not 2002 anymore. When they said TNA, we knew they were talking about tits and ass, and that's what it is. No, the kids don't care about that. They're carrying guns and smoking vapes. You think they're saying TNA? That's not nothing. They're saying the real words, the shit that gets them into what they need to get into. That's so outdated. Nobody's thinking of that when they're thinking of that. I get it. I'm into it. I understand. My only issue is, Denise, my first question is, if you guys are still going to be on Access, are you still going to be on Access?
They're still going to be on Access.
Nobody.
I mean, press release, they did not say that they were going to be changing.
I love Impact Wrestling. They had an amazing show last night, but no one's going to change their lives to go find that show. As someone who's yelled at people to go watch Impact, changing your name to TNA is not going to get any people that are not watching Impact to go and watch TNA. That's just like the facts you have to accept. So if it's for that, then I'm like, I don't really understand what you're doing here. If it's a boost of morale, it feels like everybody's super into it. We're going to kind of do some new things. I'm into it, but I don't really think it's going to change the game.
Right. And here's the thing, like, what's something that people love in pro wrestling? Nostalgia. And yes. Like, even with the video that they did to break the news on the broadcast, it was all of these, you know, sort of them wanting to, I think, reclaim what was once there, kind of like reclaim their identity, get this new shot of making TNA feel different with these new wrestlers and just like the new brand, just everything that they've done since then to change. I feel like that was them trying to like reclaim their voice, trying to change the branding of TNA Wrestling without having to actually change the name. So for me, I see this as almost them trying to embrace the past, but make it new. And so Because even like, okay, they're going to change to TNA Wrestling, right? It's not going to be Impact Wrestling. They're still keeping Impact. Thursday mm-hmm. shows are going to be Impact Wrestling still.
TNA Wrestling presents Impact or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So that's what they're going to do. The other thing that they did announce in the press release is that they're going to start, you know, going to different venues. They're going to start, you know, from the looks of it, they're going to be changing or rather enhancing the presentation of Impact Wrestling. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's definitely something that you got to do, right? Because now when you're out there, I don't want to say competing because clearly they're not competing with WWE. They're not competing yeah. with AEW. But they're still, you know, part of the wrestling sphere and people making decisions as to whether or not to tune in. Like point blank, if you tune into Impact Wrestling, are you going to get good wrestling, Reg?
Yes. 1,000%.
Are you going to get good storylines?
Yes.
All right. So what can you do now to enhance that? Well, you can, well, I mean, they're not going to change partners, at least not from right now, from the TV side of things. That's just what it is. But what can you do? You can control what you can, which is change the look of things. You can enhance everything. So I kind of see this as okay. Like I'm totally cool with them going back mm-hmm. to TNA Wrestling. I feel like a lot of people made a big deal about it. It's not that big of a deal, in
it's
my opinion.
It's not that big of a deal at all. Yeah, I kind of like what you're saying here. Kind of like what brought us to the dance? Oh, TNA brought us to the dance. Some people never stop calling them TNA anyway. So like, why don't we just go back to that? Let's go move forward as that. I like it.
Because like even this, like I remember when I felt kind of dumb, like there was times where I would be talking about like, you know, someone's past, right? Like someone, like when I'd be bringing up something and I'd be like, oh, you know, in TNA. Oh yeah. Impact Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like I felt the need to say TNA to specify the time period or the era that whatever wrestler I was talking about, you know, whatever it is that they did during that time period, you know? So I kind of felt a little bit dumb when I would have to be like Impact Wrestling. Well, TNA because it was TNA when this person was in TNA at the time. You know, it was just too much. It was too
much.
It
does sound funny. You saying TNA a bunch of times does sound funny though. I do want to just leave it.
Wait, specifically me?
No, just everybody, but you specifically saying it today does sound funny.
But isn't it crazy though? We're going to start 2024 with the return of TNA Wrestling. What?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, people wish their death from day one in 2002, Denise. People are like, they're never going to make it. They had the weirdest business model in wrestling history of trying to sell us a $10 show every Wednesday. People were like, this is weird. You're never going to survive. Hey, we're 20 some odd years later and they're going back to it. So who's laughing now?
Yeah, I'm excited. Look, I'm happy for them. I feel like right now, I know that there's a lot of people that always say that there's too much wrestling, right? That there's too much wrestling going on. Well, no one is putting a gun to your head to watch every single wrestling program. Shit, I don't watch every single wrestling program. Like, damn. I really do not. And to me, I feel like you cannot say that when, first of all, no one's forcing you to watch certain things. Nope. And secondly, there is so much talent right now. So the talent pool is so vast. If the talent pool was an ass, if it was a stinker, then I'd say like, yeah, you know what? There's too much wrestling on TV. But I feel like you cannot say there's too much wrestling on TV when, in fact, the talent is there to actually, you know, put on these matches. We're about to break down the Bound for Glory card. In this Bound for Glory card, we literally had Will Ospreay versus Speedball Mike Bailey in like the third, fourth match of the evening. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just like one of the matches along with a whole bunch of things. But that's been the history of TNA. I can say TNA now. That's funny. I thought I messed up. That's been the history of TNA, Denise, is they're even when they're in their worst times, their roster still always killed it. They still always had AJ Styles for a long time and Samoa Joe and all these amazing wrestlers. And I think it's been like for 10 years plus at this point, they've had amazing rosters. Some people that have went on to have prominence over in WWE and stuff like that. And I think that's exactly what it is now. That's what's always going to continue to drive them, no matter how many times they change their name, no matter how many different networks they go to. It's still the roster. They still have one of the best women's rosters in wrestling. They still are going to be at the core what made them them.
Exactly. All right. We got a couple of super chats I want to go ahead and get into. This one is from Matt Logan, who says, after Sunday football, I get Denise and Reg thumbs up. FYI, Jeff Jarrett's job is to do promotions. I'm assuming he said JJ as in Jeff Jarrett, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I was like, are we talking about another JJ? Like, who else are we talking about?
Double J, baby.
All right. Making sure I understood. All right. Metalhead for Life sends in a super sticker. Thank you so much to Metalhead for Life. I appreciate the love and support, man. Alexander Fitzgerald sends in a super chat saying, good for them to rebrand to Impact TNA. I was a fan of them from 2006 to 2010, and it just fell off so hard. Then they lost AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. Yeah, you know, they kind of had a dip. And once they got in the new regime, I feel like, you know what? This is something we don't talk about. You know what we don't talk about, Reg? Enough. How much Scott D'Amore has helped benefit Impact Wrestling, TNA.
Big time. Huge time.
This guy literally, I mean, he's trained so many wrestlers, right? We already know that. But the point is that I feel like they really took a chance. Because I feel like when you've got, what's that one saying? When you got nothing to lose, you kind of like go for it all. I forgot what the official saying is, but I almost feel like Impact Wrestling, knowing that they have become like the third promotion in the US, it almost feels like, well, you know what? We've got nothing to lose. Let's just freaking go for it.
Yeah, I think that this one point when Scott D'Amore had came back to Impact Wrestling, there was kind of a stigma around it. And people were like, why is he doing this? Don Callis was around at the same time. And people were like, well, what's going to happen with Impact Wrestling? We kind of don't believe on exactly what it is now. But he turned that whole thing around. Like we just said, we're about to get into a really amazing show right here. And he's a huge reason why. He's done a bunch of things, some chances that some people wouldn't have taken to get to the position that he is now. So shout out to Scott D'Amore.
Yeah, I completely agree with that in terms of taking and doing things that maybe some others wouldn't have tried. So, yeah, Alexander Fitzgerald, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate that a whole lot. All right, so let's go ahead and highlight some of the items that we saw on Impact Wrestling. So I want to kick things off, of course, with the opening match, which was Kenta versus Chris Sabin, X Division Championship. Chris Sabin retained in this match here after hitting the Cradle Shock. For you, did this match hit the spot when it comes to opening matches on a show like Bound for Glory?
Yes, I thought it did. As most people know, I'm a huge Kenta fan. He's my second favorite Japanese. Exactly what he needed to do. He was hard hitting. He was cocky. He flipped off the crowd when he teased the go to sleep. I think the position that he was in, he played exactly what he needed to do. The original, someone that was in 2002 that knows exactly how to start off a TNA, Chris Sabin. I thought this was a really good match. There was a lot of strong striking. Chris Sabin left your spots. I thought this was a great way to start the show.
Yeah, so you were a little choppy there, Reg, but I picked up pretty much what you said there. So it's StreamYard. Okay,
this is stream fault is what I'm learning.
It hates you. It hates you right now. But either way, though, I think you touched on a lot of important things there. I thought this was an okay opener. There were some things that I enjoyed, but I personally kind of felt like, I think there could have been a little bit more. I still feel like we see a lot of, you know, Kenta from the shades of his days in WWE. So for me, I really wasn't too crazy about some of the portions of this match, but it was a fine opening match, but it wasn't like explosive to me by any means. We got a super chat here from infamous Raider Loco who says, been watching WWE since the age of 2 and haven't stopped. Got my kids into it also. I love addition of AEW. Still haven't gotten on board with Impact TNA, but I love to watch sports entertainment or straight wrestling. Like, here's the thing, guys. Like, everybody here, I feel like watch whatever you want to watch. Right, Reg? Like, if you want to watch AEW, if you want to watch WWE, if you want to watch and just Lucha, if you just want to watch Japanese wrestling, whatever it is that you want to watch, I promise you, you will find something good in pretty much everything that you're watching. Now, there are different types of wrestling fans, and I feel like sometimes people try to shame other people, right? Because I feel like I see this on the internet where it's like, if you're not watching this promotion or you haven't been watching that promotion, that people try to almost shame you if you don't watch those promotions. Hey, Reg, you good?
What's up? Can you guys hear me?
We got you, man. We got you here. You're alive.
I switched computers. We're going to see if this is really a StreamYard thing, we're going to see it right now.
We're going to get the proof here. But anyway, so with this super chat, that infamous Writer Loca, I was basically saying that I feel like watch whatever the hell you want to watch. I know sometimes people get judgy. They think, you don't watch this promotion, then you're not a real wrestling fan. And I feel like we see that in social media sometimes. And I'm like, just screw it and watch whatever the hell you want to watch, because no matter what company it is, I know sometimes we nitpick certain things. I nitpick a whole lot, but you're going to find something good, something that you're going to like and grab a hold of pretty much in anything that you watch. Now, Reg, I know you watch a whole lot. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, sometimes, Denise, like it seems like we're beating a dead horse with like the tribalism stuff when we tell everybody to chill, but legit chill. Just like you described, there's so much wrestling to watch. There's too much wrestling to watch. You shouldn't even have time to complain about anything because you should be watching something else. People get hung up on this. As someone who grew up and came up during the Attitude Era, WWE and WCW forced us into this. A lot of us fans were tribal because they were like, the other company sucks. You shouldn't watch them. Watch us. Like, we were conditioned to be like this. So I understand. But the difference is there aren't just those two companies that are running. There's a gazillion of them. Everybody has streaming. You can watch people on YouTube for free. It's a whole different game. You don't have to choose anymore because it's so wide now.
All right, we got a super chat here from Sheldon Jackson who says, I'm curious to know if New Japan Pro Wrestling will continue to bring some of their factions into Impact Wrestling because BC is the only, Bullet Club is the only faction consistently in TNA because of all of these factions. Talk about expansion. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this, Reg?
I do like the presence.
Reg, pause for a second. You're going to have to go back to your original setup because there's this huge buzz coming off of this new one here.
Oh, my God. I hate it here. Okay, let me try.
All right. No worries. We're going to take you off for a bit. We'll let Reg figure this out. You know, this always happens whenever we do a special type of stream, guys. It's not our normal Wednesday show. We usually don't have this many issues. But anyways, I would like to see some of what you're saying here, Sheldon. I'm into the factions. I'm into seeing different stuff. And I feel like the more people you see mix it in there, the hotter things feel. I mean, look at AEW right now. I feel like, well, even WWE, like they got so many freaking factions. I feel like all of these groups, right? I mean, on AEW, you got the Bullet Club Gold. We're just out here talking about the House of Black. You have the Elite. You have the BCC. Over on WWE, you got the Bloodline, you got the Judgment Day. I mean, there's quite a bit going on in every direction. Sheldon, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate that a whole lot for you sending that in here. Everybody's making fun of Reg. Reg sounds like Optimus. Reg sounds like AI. I'm gonna get an AI co-host. Can you do that? I know AI can do a lot. I hate AI, by the way. I don't like that stuff. I feel like takes away from originality, authenticity, and I don't like it using and stealing people's. I don't like that people are creating songs with other people's voices without their actual approval and consent. I mean, that's freaking weird. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of that. But anyways, I'm going to get an AI co-host and steal Reg's identity without his consent and just have him say things. That's terrible. I'm not going to do that. Oh, man. We'll press on from here. All right. By the way, I think this is a really cool conversation. I'm seeing a lot of people kind of add to this one here. This one's from Roger Pace, who says, thanks, Denise, for speaking positive, understanding about Impact Wrestling, changing its name back to TNA. We got Scoucher Boy, who says, back in the day, wrestling was tribal because it was real. Not like now, where all the staff and wrestlers from different promotions are all friends, right? Like breaking the fourth wall, kayfabe and all of that. It is a little bit different. I mean, you got social media now where you're seeing people's real personalities. We're seeing, like you said, wrestlers hanging out and all of that. Reg, you're back.
Well, guess who's back? Back again for 5 seconds until StreamYard kicks me off.
All right, well, let's get into the rest of the Impact card. I want to talk about the Monsters Ball. We had Moose, PCO, Rhino, and Steve Maclin. I mean, this really was a showcase for PCO. He was the highlight to me in this match. We got two big spots here that I really enjoyed, one of which was seen right at the beginning, actually multiple. Moose putting PCO through the ladder right at the beginning. Moose setting up the cinder blocks and the thumbtacks on the cinder block, and then power bombing PCO through that. That was the sickest spot that we got. And even later on throughout the match, you can see the thumbtacks in the back of the head of PCO. And then Bully Ray coming in and literally tossing Steve Macklin into a barbed wire table on the outside. Those were really the biggest spots that we've got here in this Monsters Ball, with PCO, of course, getting the victory here. I'm going to start off with this one. I kind of was expecting a little bit more, because aside from what I mentioned, I didn't really think that this Monsters Ball was, I don't know, I feel like I've seen a little bit better on this end. It kind of felt a little bit rushed, and the finish also kind of felt like really, really quick. Like, I don't know, I wasn't really feeling the entire thing, aside from those cool moments that we got.
Yeah, I think there was something missing from it. I don't know if kind of going in, I remember Phil and I kind of talking about the card, and I didn't really know who I wanted to win or I wanted to lose. So there was like something missing from it. It's so funny, Denise, I talk about seeing people not tuning into this. If this spot happened with Moose and PCO, of them doing the cinder block thing and the things being stuck in the back of his head, and some random indie, it'd be like viral and people would be saying to shut wrestling down and it's the worst thing ever. But no one even cared about the, like, no. This was just like nothing on a card. People were like, all right, next match, like, this is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, this is crazy.
Yes, that's what it felt like. Thank you. Next, in the words of Ariana Grande, that's literally what this felt like. And so, yeah, I think there was a little bit something missing from this Monsters Ball, at least for me, for sure. All right, we got the Rascals and defending their tag team championships against Chris Bay and Ace Austin, ABC. ABC gets the victory. They're champs, man. Anything that stood out to you in this match here?
Yeah, this was kind of one of those special, you always have to have like a classic what makes Impact Wrestling or TNA Wrestling TNA. This is one of those, two of the best tag teams that they've ever had. The Rascals are incredible. ABC has been having a run that everyone should see. And so for them to cap that off by getting the tag team championships back, I thought was great. This is just great X Division tag team action. If you like old school X Division type, if you like fast, these guys are like the fastest wrestlers in the company. Like, you should watch this.
All right, I want to get into this match that is the match of the night. This one was so freaking good. Everyone already knows what I'm talking about. It's Will Ospreay, Mike Bailey. This was, when you looked at this card, I feel like if you were a little bit on the fence of like, what are you wanting to tune in for? I feel like this one probably swayed a lot of people in the direction of making sure to tune into this show. Mm-hmm. There was a lot we need to get into for this one. So really quick, I'm going to run down. Holy Strike Fest, Reg. Holy Strike Fest. I saw so much kicking in this match. It was freaking beautiful. One of the things that I love from Mike Bailey here was that anytime he went for anything, he did a lot of moments where he was kind of like taunting certain kicks. He didn't just throw kicks for the sake of throwing them. Anytime he did them, there was precision, and he was actually going to make impact with Will Ospreay. And that was one of the things that I loved, because at some moments you can kind of see him tricking Will Ospreay and Will Ospreay falling for it and thinking he was ready for a kick, and then it doesn't happen, and then Mike Bailey surprises him with one. I thought that was freaking great. Then we saw Kawada kicks from both guys. We saw King's Road. We saw Ultimate Weapon from Mike Bailey going for the pin. It ended up being a near fall. That was a big moment following that Ultimate Weapon. We saw a crazy spot off the top rope, which I can only describe as like a fisherman suplex into a fallaway slam from Mike Bailey to Will Ospreay. We see Ospreay, talk about nostalgia, Ospreay hitting the Styles Clash on Mike Bailey. We see the Storm Driver 93 from Ospreay, Storm Break again. I mean, this guy had to hit four finishes in order to defeat Mike Bailey. But in this match, at no point was there any sort of wasted motion. Everything that happened in this match happened for a freaking reason. They worked at a certain speed where you're like, bro, I need to rewind and watch that part again, because that's the speed at which they were moving. And what I like too is Mike Bailey is known for throwing those freaking kicks that will literally not even give you time to blink, right? Because he's hitting them so fast. What I loved is how Will Ospreay came in and got him with his taste of his own medicine, hitting him with some strikes where I went, damn, he's making Mike Bailey's strikes look like all of a sudden they're nothing because Will Ospreay's coming in even harder. And then Mike Bailey would come in harder. And so that's literally what I loved from this match. It was so enjoyable. What did you think?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Denise. Coming into this match, Mike Bailey is so known for his strikes. Like, I've seen so many Mike Bailey matches where I'm like, oh, he just wrestled my friend Al Fazo last week at West Coast Pro, destroyed him with these kicks. Saw him against Brian Keith, destroyed him with these kicks. Will Ospreay, though, is on another level, Denise. He has to compete against Okada, Shingo, Tanahashi, Ishii, against hard-hitting strikers every week. So he strikes on a different level. Will Ospreay came in and outstruck Mike Bailey the whole match. His chops were harder. The hidden blades were insane. There was just so much about this match that I just want to, I have to go watch it again because I, like you said, I missed so many things. Coming into this match, we all knew what it was going to be. Will Ospreay has been having the year of a lifetime, career resume, back-to-back-to-back bangers. So we knew coming into this that it was going to be crazy. Mike Bailey is every single match that I've seen. He hasn't had one bad match since he returned from his hiatus from being locked out of the U.S. Every single time it's on fire. So I knew these two guys together were going to do it, but they even exceeded those expectations, Denise. Just everything was on point from both sides. Everybody hit their best spots, signature spots on point. The hidden blade where he ran and turned Mike Bailey inside out, it's one of the craziest things I've seen all year. This is a 5-star match right here on our, in front of our eyes. Will Ospreay is the wrestler of the year. I know I make a list of black wrestlers. We ain't talking about black wrestlers. Will Ospreay did this thing. That Stormbreaker 93 almost broke his neck. This is crazy, Denise. There's so much. I'm just like, gee, like, wow. I can't believe it.
This was good stuff, man. Everybody who watched this knows this. If you didn't watch it, make some time. Go out of your way to check out this match because this is one that I think no matter what kind of wrestling you're into, that you're going to enjoy this one for sure. We have a super chat here from Bert Hausen, who says Mike Bailey versus Ospreay was awesome. Thank you so much for sending in a super chat to say that because it definitely was freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it, man, when matches that you kind of have a lot of hopes for actually deliver. Yeah, there you go. The theme of the day, dream matches. But it really did deliver, and I love that because nothing's worse than being really excited about a match and then it being like the shits.
There's been so many WrestleMania matches that they build for years and months and months, and then you get to it and you're like, oh, that wasn't like, it.
That wasn't it.
This was sorry, not baby. That. This was it. 5 stars. If you watch one match from yesterday, you watch this match, you watch two matches, you watch Brian and Andrade. We were eating yesterday, Denise.
Yep, we were. All right, Call Your Shot Gauntlet. So this one here, this one's a lot of fun because you know whoever wins is going to go on to probably do something really freaking cool. I mean, 2 years ago, that's how we saw Moose eventually get the title. Last year, we saw Bully Ray win and then challenge Josh Alexander at Hard to Kill. So you know that they don't just like throw this gauntlet in with a bunch of dorks, right? Like they actually go in there and they put stars in there. So it makes it really enjoyable. We got a bunch of people in this. Eddie Edwards, Jake Something, Kenny King, Juventud Guerrera, Johnny Swinger, Bully Ray, Matt Cardona, Giselle, Jordan Grace, Joe Hendry, Brian Myers, Frankie Kazarian, Rich Swan, Jonathan Gresham, Dirty Dangle, Kylan King, and somebody that debuted to a massive reaction, Sunny Kiss. Holy damn. We need to talk about that before we get into everything else. What did you think of Sunny Kiss's debut?
I loved it. I was surprised. I didn't know that this was happening. Big, big ovation, like you said, here in the Impact Zone. And Sunny Kiss looked great out there. I think Sunny Kiss was one of those people that when Sunny was not released, when the contract ran out, we were kind of like, oh, that's kind of unfortunate because there was a lot of shining moments that Sunny had in AEW. And I think Sonny's going to get to excel even more here in Impact. So I'm excited about this.
I feel like this is going to be his place. I think this is going to be, I won't be surprised if 2024 is Sunny Kiss's year in Impact Wrestling. I have a feeling just based off of like personality. I'm not even talking in ring because in ring he's really good too. She's really good too. But with the, in terms of the actual personality, oh man, I think that this is where we're going to see Sunny Kiss really shine.
Agreed.
All right. And I do want to talk about more that went down here because this was a lot of fun here. So we had Matt Cardona eliminating Brian Myers. I thought that was really hilarious. We had a confrontation here between Bully Ray and Jordynne Grace. And later on, they would end up being the final two here. Now, I know in any other promotion, this would probably be like people would be thinking, oh, this is a shit we're having. You know, what is this? A man and a woman in the final two? What is this? I know a lot of people would react to that, right? But this is different because of the way that Impact Wrestling has treated the women. It makes it just a lot more believable, I feel. So when you see Bully Ray and Jordynne Grace in there, I feel like you can definitely, I mean, you can respect it. Like, you can buy it. You don't have to suspend your disbelief very much. So what we got here for the actual finish, so we had Bully Chopper down like two times, right? So that was some good little moments here. But Bully Ray took the Grace Driver and that made Jordynne Grace look like a million freaking bucks getting the Grace Driver on Bully Ray, who is a big dude. And he must have, like, damn, I can't even believe like how light he got for that, because that was super freaking impressive. That was cool. It was a cool way to end this. And Jordynne Grace gets the victory.
Yes, yeah, super excited about this victory from Jordynne Grace. She looked awesome throughout. At one point, she's in there with her husband fighting it out. They've had a couple of knockouts together with, I think they were in Bola this year. They wrestled each other, but that was super cool to see. Yeah, like you said, Denise, this happens in Impact all the time. They have intergender wrestling pretty often. So this didn't seem crazy at all. Men are interacting with women and everybody's interacting with everybody throughout this. So Jordynne looked great. And like you said, Bully taking that, I think, capped it all off. But I'm not surprised about it because he's a wrestling trainer. So you got to know how to take all this stuff. And for him to, knowing who he was in 1998, to do that for a woman in 2023, it's pretty astonishing. We should commend him for that.
Yeah, it was a good moment, a good spot. And I'm happy for Jordynne Grace getting this victory here. So it looks like she may be coming for the champion, Trinity, who successfully defended her Knockouts championship against Mickey James. And what was a hell of a match too, man. Reg, this was a lot of fun. I feel like Trinity really went out there. And it's true when they say that she completely just like reinvented herself here. Yeah. And here's the thing. We're always talking about women's wrestling, right? And especially in Impact Wrestling. And here's the thing. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, you know you're going to get the whole enchilada. And that is part of what I think, no matter what, is always going to keep the Impact Wrestling brand special with the women's division. But the point is here that Trinity went out there and she has definitely done so much. Like where she was at in WWE to like not really being used to, oh, she got used for a bit, then she didn't, and then she finally gets this moment with Sasha. Unfortunately, that ended the way that it ended. Is she ever going to come back to pro wrestling? I did an interview with her. You can watch it here on the channel where she basically said she was almost not ever going to come back to pro wrestling. And now she's in a new company where she didn't have to go to Impact Wrestling, but she did. And you have to challenge yourself to go into a division like that and try to see that you can still go with these people, right? So she made sure to go out there. She had a great match with Mickey James. What I liked here was this was a friendly competition, but we also saw Mickey James at one point take a page out of Trinity's book, getting her, like planting her face first. I thought that was really great. But Trinity eventually ends up winning with the Starstruck. I love that, by the way. Dang, this was good. What did you think?
I think the thing that makes me so happy about this, Denise, is what you said about at the end of the WWE run, there was a lot of mystery. There's a lot of stuff. People still don't really know exactly what happened. We got that clip of Mercedes a few days ago being very upset at that comic thing. So, you know, there's still a lot of mystery surrounding this. But Trinity took all that and just kind of like was like, I'm going to take what we did over there and just show these people that I'm a great wrestler. Which way to show your way that you're a great wrestler is going to the Impact Wrestling thing where you have to compete with Deonna, Masha, Giselle, Killer Kelly, Mickey. Like, there's a insanely rich amount of great wrestlers here. And she went and did exactly that. We kind of slept on Trinity for so long because of the positions that she's in. But at the end of that, she's just a really great wrestler. So she gets to show that with Mickie James, a legendary figure in this business, in Impact Wrestling, in WWE, and everywhere that she's been. And she executed in a card that was pretty rich, pretty diverse in match types and wrestlers and stuff. They had a really good match. Mickie's such a good veteran that she could guide anybody into anything. And compare that with Trinity having this great run. Recipe for success right here. I'm excited to see what Trinity does for the rest of the year, honestly.
Yeah, and I also like that the way that they're presenting her too. You know, it comes with a certain aura of respect of, hey, you know what? She did it. She came here and she's doing it. So I really enjoyed this for what it was. We got a super chat here from Delayed Grats who says, even though Will Ospreay has said he isn't interested in going to WWE, when his contract is up, you think WWE will still make a huge offer for him? And props to Sunny Kiss. I mean, I would think so, right? I mean, you would want to have somebody like Will Ospreay on your roster. I know for sure that's something I would want, but I don't know. You know, things are functioning a lot differently, but I do think that you should at least, test the waters, right? See if there's an opportunity to be made there. Because even if you're like, oh, I'm not interested in this, you never know. All of a sudden you can get this offer and you're like, hey, maybe I am interested. I feel like with that, you just never know.
Yeah, with how WWE is functioning now and how the business model is over there, Denise, that I would not be surprised one bit if they don't offer him a giant bag. Look at how his name is in everybody's mouths when he has his matches. He's had the matches with Kenny. He just had this. Like, his resume is too strong for them to ignore. WWE's not ignoring anybody in this position because, as we see, it's a war.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is that like now with certain wrestlers being presented differently, with at least for right now, Triple H running creative, I know it's a gamble, right? Because we did get Triple H running creative, then all of a sudden Vince was back, and now Vince is gone again from creative. Okay, now Triple H is running things. It's a real huge gamble to play with your career like that, because you can go in and be presented as a star that you are, or you can go in and all of a sudden someone doesn't like you, and then you're not presented that way, right? It's a huge gamble. But I do think that I wouldn't necessarily completely rule it out anymore. There can always still be like the what if.
Yeah, I think at this position, anything's possible.
Never say never. Anything can happen in pro wrestling. We're getting TNA wrestling back in the year 2024. That's where we're at. All right, Delayed Grats, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate it. All right, we got one last thing to talk about, and that is the main event, Alex Shelley versus Josh Alexander. And dude, wow, really good, flowed perfectly, great chemistry. These two guys know what they're doing, and I was not expecting to see Alex Shelley defeat Josh Alexander. Clean as a sheet. Clean as a sheet, Reg. What'd you make of this match?
If anybody can hear me, I hope you can hear me. I was very surprised at the finish of this. Going into the match, I assumed that Josh Alexander was going to continue the run that he was having in Impact before he got injured. So the finish was very surprising. And just the sheer velocity and how he hit the finish and how Josh Alexander took it was a big surprise to me. This probably was actually the biggest surprise of the night. Like, if I were to bet money on one match was going to hold, it was going to be that Josh Alexander was going to leave as the world champion. So this is a surprise. But on the opposite end of that, Alex Shelley's one of the one.
So you mentioned that being a surprise, and I think you're kind of right with that too, because I went into this thinking that Josh Alexander was going to win as well. And part of the reason for that is when the injury happened, it was unexpected, right? Like, you were seeing Josh Alexander have the reign of a lifetime. So the fact that, you know, unfortunately things had to change and they had to, you know, have new champions with Steve Maclin, with Alex Shelley, it ended up going an entirely different direction. So I didn't know if they were going to revert back to whatever it is that they had planned for Josh Alexander to do, or if they were going to be like, no, just because you think this is what's going to happen, we're going to keep the belt on Alex Shelley. So I feel like that's a little bit more of the direction that they decided to go with. But yeah, like you, I did think that Josh Alexander was going to win. And then given all of the hard-fought battles that Alexander has had with other people and the way that we didn't see him lose as champion, clearly we saw him go through hell and back and always come back. So him losing to Alex Shelley clean was a huge surprise, and it meant a lot because you do not see somebody like Josh Alexander lose like that often. So it felt special, and I feel like it added to Alex Shelley's reign just like a million times more. So that's kind of where I'm at with everything that went down here. Let's see what people thought on the chat. Let's see. This is from Zeno Hour, who says Josh Alexander versus Will Ospreay is apparently happening. Yeah, that is happening. I think it's today that they're doing the taping for that, but that had been announced for a while. So I think if I'm right, the match is happening today, right?
Ospreay and Josh Alexander, yeah, it's today.
Yeah, yeah, because today's the taping for that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ooh, I can't wait to see what that's gonna look like. That's a pay-per-view match right there. You
yes,
know?
Yes, yes, yes. Denise, though, the most surprising thing about the show to me was that team title match never happened. I was sitting waiting for the match to happen.
Sorry, Reg, you cut off for that one.
I know.
We're just going to run with it. We pretty much covered everything. Reg, you made it. You survived this show. We survived. Alrighty, everybody. That was our October 22nd edition special bonus podcast covering AEW Collision and Impact Wrestling. We sincerely apologize for any technical difficulties. Sometimes it happens. You can't control that stuff too much, but I appreciate everybody who tuned in and for your patience with us here today. So thank you guys so freaking much. To next week, we got a full slate of shows. Tuesday, I will be here, of course, to chat WWE NXT. On Wednesday, I will be here with Reg to talk about AEW Dynamite. And then, of course, on Friday, I will be here to chat about Friday Night SmackDown. And then on Saturday, I will be here to talk about AEW Collision. And I think I'm also doing a bonus podcast. I will let you guys know that's probably going to be happening on Thursday. So I will keep you guys posted on all of those details. But please, guys, thank you so much for your support. Do not forget to subscribe. Check out the interview with Ilya Dragunov that I just posted. Give Reg some love. He is at Righteous Reg. Make sure to check out the BW500. It is up on his Twitter account. You guys know where to find him each and every single Saturday on Fightful Pro Wrestling on Grapsity. And, of course, here on Wednesdays to chat AEW Dynamite. Until next time, thank you guys so much. Please do not forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Goodbye, everyone. Have a great week.